It's truly a joy to be with you. I really was trying to think how long it's been since I've actually been in one of your services, and it's probably been a good 7, 8 years or more, maybe. But I grew up, we moved here when I was in sixth grade, and my dad took a church in Wisconsin when I was finishing some master's degree at Bob Jones. But my growing up years were spent here. I still call it Highlands Baptist Church, if you don't mind. But we had some wonderful, wonderful memories or experiences that really are wonderful memories for me. And I do want to say, as a son of a former pastor here, it does my heart good to know you're still standing where my dad stood. And that's not always the case. Too often churches forget the standards that were set, really the biblical principles that were taught. And to hear the same gospel songs we sang, to hear the same passion for souls, for revival, for prayer, those are wonderful. That's wonderful. That's music to my ears. And so, Lord bless you, Pastor Rogers, for sticking by the stuff. And I know that this way of doing church is not necessarily the popular way to do things today. But it's still God's way. And when you do God's work God's way, you really, as far as eternity is concerned, you get God's blessings. And so keep on keeping on. Be encouraged. Westside is doing what you're endeavoring to do. In Martinez, I call that Southern Spanish. But we're endeavoring to do what you're doing here. And so be encouraged. I think too often God's people are discouraged, and we're kind of beaten down, and we say, well, is it worth it? It is worth it, because we serve the living God, and He cares. He cares more than we care that we do what pleases Him. And sometimes we wonder, well, does it matter if we do what pleases Him? I can tell you it does. This church would not still be here if there weren't pastors like Mike Rogers, and my father, who believed in the old book and stood by the stuff. And so, anyway, it is worth it. And may the Lord encourage you. Thank you for the invitation to be here. And I don't come with my hand out. I really don't. I want to come to be a blessing to you. And I want, because you've already been a blessing to us. But I don't come, honestly, even to receive an offering. In fact, if you give me anything, I'm going to give it back, to be frank with you. But I come to be a blessing, and hopefully a blessing to you. I still love California. I was born in Minneapolis. My dad was attending Northwestern Seminary way back in the late 40s, early 50s. But I, for some reason, living out here for about 11, 12 years, I've kind of claimed California as my home. So I come out here to get my California fix. And so I hope you don't mind. Well, I'd like to speak to you, and it's basically going to be a Bible study. I usually do expository preaching, but that's not necessarily going to be the case this morning. But our theme for this year, we have, as you do, Brother Rogers, we have a theme for the year, each year. Last year's theme was Walking by Faith. This year's theme is The Blessings of Fearing God. The Blessings of Fearing God. And so, if you don't mind, I'd just like to share with you what I shared with our folk a couple of weeks ago. And this is kind of a Bible study on what the Bible says about fearing the Lord. And so we're going to look at a lot of verses. So hold on to your hat. And if you want to take some notes, fine. If you want to just listen, fine. But anyway, I hope there'll be something to encourage and challenge you to fear the Lord. And I think that's a valid question that all of us need to ask ourselves on a daily basis. Do I truly fear God? It's transforming, ladies and gentlemen, when we fear the Lord. So let's pray and then we'll get into our study. Father, thank you so much for Pastor Rogers, his dear wife Bernie, their family, this church family. What a privilege to stand where my dad stood many years ago. And Lord, to see that this church is still standing. And Lord, might it continue to stand for the truth of your word. For that is what lasts. Lord, bless this church. Bless this congregation. Lord, bless this dear pastor and his family, his wife. Might they know their labors are not in vain in the Lord. Bless their evangelistic meetings. Lord, work in hearts. Might the Spirit of God truly be at work. We pray for fruit. We pray for even fruit this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19:9, if you'd like to turn there as an opening text. Psalm 19:9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean," which simply means fearing God. And this is what fearing God means, reverencing God, holding a deep respect and awe, a veneration, an admiration, an adoration, a devotion, a high esteem, an homage, a love, a loyalty, a piety, an attitude of worship toward God is a purifying reality. The fear of the Lord is clean. And the reason is it cleanses us or cleanses out love of sin and sanctifies the heart in which fearing God reigns, and such an effect is enduring. But the rest of the verse says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." It's important, ladies and gentlemen, to fear the Lord. It has a cleansing, it has an enduring effect. Filth brings decay. The purifying principle of fearing God is the great foe of corruption. It brings life. It brings eternal life. It brings into focus God Himself, for the pure in heart see God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are seeing God, it will transform how you live for God. And so it's important that we fear the Lord. What a blessing it is to fear the Lord. And so naturally, since fearing God is such a sanctifying, purifying, beneficial thing, we are commanded in Scripture to fear the Lord. Do you know that's a command? One place where we find this admonition, this precept, is Deuteronomy 10:12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee?" And it requires four things. And the first one is to fear the Lord thy God. Then to walk in all of His ways, to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, of the four requirements God placed there in Israel, notice the first one, and I believe it's significant. I believe always the first is significant. And not that the rest are not significant, but the fact that fearing God is significant tells me that fearing God is foundational. It is what is needed to build an enduring life. In fact, the verses on fearing God are mainly found in the Old Testament. And the command to fear God, or the commands are located in the Pentateuch. And you all know that those are the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, which again tell us being obedient to fear God helps bring the rest of our Christianity into focus. We build our lives on fearing God. We are to fear God, then we are to walk in His ways, we are to love Him, we are to serve Him. If I could say it this way, We will not walk in his ways. We will not love him. We will not serve him if we are not fearing him. And yet I'm afraid most of us have a very trite attitude most of the time toward God. Now obviously, since it is a biblical command to fear God, that means it is evil, it is sin, it is disobedience not to fear God. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts." And you find that verse in Jeremiah 2, verse 19. The point here is, God calls not fearing him an evil and bitter thing. Now, I don't know how much you like the English language, but that's strong. That's strong. An evil and bitter thing. And this wickedness, this backsliding, will in itself be a means God uses to admonish and correct us, his children. But then on the positive side, the primary motivation to fear God and fearing God is to continue to follow in God's ways, is seeing God at work around us and through us. In other words, we see God showing himself strong on our behalf, which simply means we see, as did Israel, God's great work. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and notice the response to that great work. The people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. When Israel saw God's great power displayed against the Egyptians and remembered that Pharaoh and his army were all drowned in the Red Sea, and who did that? God did that. Then they feared the Lord and they put their trust in him. The point again is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us to repentance, that leads us to Jesus Christ, leads us to follow him, and following Christ means we are fearing him. We are properly responding to God's goodness by fearing him. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all thy heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Ladies and gentlemen, do we stop and think how good God is to us all the time? I mean, every blessing we receive is from him. Everything good in your life has come from him. And yet we just take and take and take, and we look at God as sometimes Santa Claus giving us all that we want. But what is our response to him? I like, a relationship to be proper is always two ways. It's always a street going both directions. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with someone and they didn't try to have a friendship? They didn't want to be your friend in return? You know, you're always on the giving end. They're always on the receiving end. But you're never receiving much from them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if our relationship to the living God is to be right, it has to be a two-way street. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And what is our response to him? The truth is, God blesses those who fear him. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the receiving end, but I also want to be on the giving end as well. And we see this truth stated in a number of verses. Psalm 112, verse 1 states, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Psalm 128, verse 1, "Blessed is the one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Psalm 128, verse 4, "Blessed, behold, that though that thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Like what Deuteronomy 6:24 states, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these, statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good." Our good always that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And we've spoken in general about God's blessings upon those who fear him, but there are at least, and bear with me, I'll move through these quickly, but there are at least 17 specific spiritual Bible promises, blessings that come to those who fear God. And keep in mind, as we fear him, he blesses us. But can I say this very bluntly? We should want to fear him whether we're ever blessed or not. Whether we're ever blessed or not. Why? Because he is God. There is no want. Remember that verse in Psalm 34:9. There is no lack, there is no want to them that fear him. Now, what are these? Some of these good things? Well, we see this bounty enumerated in the following blessings. The first blessing is, fearing God means we do not fear man. Fearing God means we do not fear man. Deuteronomy 3:22, ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And why is this important? Because as Proverbs 29:25 tells us, the fear of man bringeth a what? A snare. Do you know that the Hebrew word used here for snare means a noose? And we all know the damage a noose does to a life. It steals life. The point is, it is not good to fear man. And the best antidote, the best spiritual medicine, remedy to counteract fearing man is to fear God. Again, he shall fight for you. I still go out knocking on doors. I'm still a door knocker. And you know what? When I know God goes with me, I can go in confidence and I don't have to fear the face that I'm about to speak to behind that door. God is with me. And I know it's a cliche, but you and God always make a majority. If God before you, who can be against you? So, you're talking about visitation next Saturday. You don't have to fear knocking on those doors. God is with you. Know that you are going in the strength of the Lord. That God is with you. When you go, I've knocked on thousands of these doors in North Islands. I mean, we had buses running everywhere. I started out riding a bus, became a bus captain, became a bus driver. I mean, I've done the bus ministry. And you know what? God was always with us. God always was with us. I mean, we don't have to fear man. I think of what Caleb and Joshua said to the fearful Israelites. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know, we live in a day when we're fearing our government. They're passing these rules and regulations and laws that stand against biblical principles, that stand against our God, and we fear. Oh, I better not say anything. Caleb and Joshua said, they are bread for us. God is on our side, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to fear Governor Brown, we don't have to fear a President Obama. God is on our side. And when you fear God, you don't fear man. It's not to say we don't respect the office. It's not that we don't show proper deportment toward these leaders. We pray for them. We don't curse them. We pray for them. But God is on our side. And you realize that when you fear Him. When you understand, what does fear mean? You understand who God is. God, Caleb and Joshua said, is with us. So fear them not. Blessing number two, fearing God prolongs our days. We live longer, fuller lives when we fear God. You say, well, how does that work out? Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Which simply means when we fear God, we make good choices. We are disciplined, so we choose not what is detrimental to body and soul, but what is good and beneficial. I might have gone to meddling when I say this, but I really think when we fear God, we eat right. We exercise. I'm 60 years of age, I still exercise. I don't run too far, I don't run too fast, but I still move. I still get up and go. This body belongs to the Lord, amen? Blessing number three, fearing God means God fights for us, which means He gives us deliverance from our enemies. Listen to Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun or from the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Which means, I love this, the bands of heaven, the armies of the Lord, the ministering spirits surround God's people. Which tells us that watch is kept by the one whose prowess none can resist. I love the words of 2 Kings 17:39, but the Lord your God ye shall fear, and He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. All of them. And so it is true, as I just said earlier, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Blessing number four, God does not forsake those who fear Him. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He shall not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Blessing number five, God hears the prayers of those who fear Him. I appreciated this morning the emphasis in Sunday school and during this service on prayer. God hears the prayers of those who fear Him. Listen to what Nehemiah said after he heard of the pathetic state of the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1:11. O Lord, I beseech thee, now let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. I think you as a church can pray for these evangelistic meetings that, Lord, you will prosper us this day. That you will prosper these meetings. Don't you think it's God's will that He blesses your meetings, your evangelistic meetings, with your own evangelist, Tim Schmidt? I mean, does God want those 4 days, starting next Sunday through next Wednesday, to just be, oh, I need to be in church. I don't want Pastor Rogers to point me out. I mean, don't you think God wants to do a work of grace? Don't you think God wants to bless and prosper you as a congregation of people to be a brighter light for Jesus Christ in this community? Fear Him. Fear Him. how vitally important it is for us to have a God who hears our prayers. That's huge. We talked about, your pastor did such an excellent job admonishing us to pray. You know, one of the biggest ways to encourage you and my heart to pray is to believe that God answers. I don't know about you, but it takes a lot to pray if you don't believe God's going to answer your prayers. But oh, the encouragement, the challenge to pray knowing that God does answer. It's worth your time. It's worth your energy to pray because of people that fear God. He hears your cries. It's not in vain, ladies and gentlemen. I think so often our ministries, we think, let's just hold on until the end. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not God's will for His people. It's God's will that we see His work of grace done to a people who truly fear Him. Blessing number 6, God gives wisdom and knowledge and truth to those who fear Him. The last time I checked, I needed all the wisdom and knowledge and truth I could get. A number of references that declare this truth. For example, Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Do you know how to be smart? Fear God and keep His word. You will be brilliant. You won't be a dummy. You know what? You can have a PhD behind your name and be a dummy. You can have no degrees at all and be the smartest, the wisest man in the world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word beginning in Scripture can often mean sheep, which tells us fearing God helps us to understand the chief, the primary truths of Scripture, the primary truths of what you and I need to understand to live life. To live life, not just exist in life, but to live life. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And because we have to make decisions every day, how important it is that the foundational principles by which we make our decisions are based on the wisdom, the knowledge, and the truth of God. I told our folk 2 weeks ago, can we see why Washington makes such poor decisions? They make decisions based not upon fearing God. They make their decisions not upon the truth, the wisdom, the knowledge of God. Do you know when you do not base decisions upon the truth, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God, the decisions you make will bring to pass death and not life? And that's what we see happening today. Decisions that bring to pass death. A death for our culture, a death for our society. Lesson number 7, the heart of man who fears God is teachable. Psalm 25:12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Spurgeon rightly says, where God sanctifies the heart, he enlightens the head. Now, we are free to choose our own way. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in the free will of man. And you know what? I exercise that free will all the time. But we are free to choose our own way through life. But what mercy and grace come to the hearts of those who conclude not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far I know, so let him bid me go or stay. Why should we not, this awesome, marvelous, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, unchangeable God who loves us, who gave His Son to die for us, why should we not want Him to have the reins of our lives? And such a free will leads to goodwill. Again, Spurgeon says, if we make our will God's will, God will let us have our will. Again, the heart of a man who fears God is teachable. Teachable. You stand, if you're sitting there today like this, you don't fear the Lord. But when you say, Pastor Rogers, show me what God's Word says. I want to do it. I want to obey it. You fear God. Blessing number 8, God watches over them who fear Him. Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Which is simply telling us, we who fear God need not fear anything else. And I know where some of this is redundant. But God's eye of unique care is our glory and defense. I love the words, I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On Mount Bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Blessing number 9, God shows mercy to those who fear Him. Two verses in Psalm 103 state, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You say, well, Pastor, what does it mean to pity? Well, it means to feel compassion, to show benevolence, empathy, kindness, sympathy, tenderness, understanding, mercy. And then verse 17, and the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto His children's children. God's mercy to them that fear Him is without end. Fearing God means our sins will not exhaust His grace. And our believing offspring will see as well a continual display of God's mercy. I say, let us fear the Lord. How desperately we need God's mercy and grace. Blessing number 10, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him and in those that hope in His mercy. What moves God, what brings in joy and delight and pleasure is not the strength of a man's legs, nor the strength of his arms, but the company of a man whose heart possesses both fear and hope. He fears God with a holy awe and reverence, and he continually hopes for forgiveness, and the blessedness of God's mercy comes on that man. Think about it. God takes pleasure in the company of those who fear Him. He wants to be with those people. Have you ever been around a real important person? Usually, being around real important people, they want to be around what? Really important people. And so they'll be around you until someone more important comes into the room. Amen? Have you been there, Brother Mike? Pastors are guilty of this. You know what impresses God? You know whose company He wants to keep? Those who fear Him. That's good company to have, the company of the living God. Blessing number 11. those who fear the Lord depart from evil. And you know what the chief evil that we depart from? Pride. Proverbs 3:7 states, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil." Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way in the forward mouth do I hate." I think it's fascinating when Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and then he specifies the evil that we are to hate. Pride and arrogancy. Can I say something, Brother Mike? You know what preachers battle the most? Pride and arrogancy. And you know what, Pastor Rogers? People can tell when we're proud. Amen? So you need to pray for your pastor and pray for pastors like me that we will hear the Lord. You know what? The message is far more receptive when it comes from a heart that walks humbly in self with God. Proverbs 16:16. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Again, how important it is to fear the Lord. The humble whom God exalts in due time fear the Lord. You know, we worry about our reputation. We worry about Pastor Rogers. We worry about how many folk we have coming. And we all want people to come. I mean, what good does it do to preach to chairs? We want to see some eyeballs. But you know what? I believe for the Rogers, when we fear the Lord, when we walk in His ways, God will exalt us in His way. And I believe there will be folk who will want to come and say, "Pastor, what has God given you today for me?" You know, it should be, as we walk with the Lord during the week, that God lays on our hearts what the people of Faith Baptist Tabernacle need. And so when you come, it's not just warmed over mush, but it's the truth of the living God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Blessing number 12, families are protected who fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, "And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." His children shall have a place of refuge. Fathers who fear the Lord, think about this, fathers, grandfathers, fathers who fear the Lord provide divine protection for their children. Blessing number 13, fearing God breeds life. Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Again, those who fear the Lord make choices that lead to life. They avoid the ways of destruction and death. Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Blessing 14, financial blessings come to those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." I say, how do you get it? How does it get any better than that? Riches, honor, and life. Let's hope the 49ers win. Amen. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with rooting for a team. I mean, we're human. We're going to have teams we pull for, amen? But can I tell you something very simplistic? win or lose, if the 49ers win the Super Bowl, great. I'll celebrate with you. I don't know what I'll do, but I'll celebrate with you. But you know what? The 49ers will not bring you riches, honor, and life. Win or lose. Only fearing God brings you riches, honor, and life. I used to be I still am an Oakland Raiders fan. How dare you? They gave up on me and I gave up on them long ago. I mean, they're just, can I say it? Lousy. I mean, they aren't even worth it. I'll stop. Remember the snake, Kenny Stabler? Those are the days. But even Kenny Stabler didn't bring me riches, honor, and life. Amen. Only the living God, hearing him, does that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want, and I'm not into this name it and claim it stuff. I'm not. But God does bless those who fear him. That's just the bottom line. Riches, honor, and life. Three more and I'll be done. Blessing number 15. Praise comes to those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And this is not man's praise, but God-ordained praise. You know what man's praise is? You know, we all appreciate a pat on the back. We all do. But man's praise is usually very superficial. It's usually very short-lived. And oftentimes the praise that we receive from an individual is that person is doing so for his benefit. To be very frank with you. It's like if I stroke Brother Mike, he'll stroke me. I'm sorry, but that's kind of how it is in our carnal ways. Amen? But the praise of God is the real McCoy. You want not the praise of men, but the praise of the living God. Blessing number 16, eternal rewards come to those who fear the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. Man soon forgets the good deeds done to him. I can think of all the good things that my dad and mom did in serving this congregation. And how quickly some of those folk forgot the good that was done for them. But God never forgets. He does not forget the godly remnant, the true and righteous worshipers who love and serve him. And then one more. Peace and rest and growth come to those who fear the Lord. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You want this church to grow? You want this church to be blessed? You want this church to receive riches and honor and life? Fear the Lord. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Which all means good things come to congregations, to churches who walk in the fear of the Lord. How blessed are those who fear the Lord. What comprehensive blessings come to those who fear the Lord. Now, in contrast, those who fear not Him, Malachi 3:5 says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow of the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. I will come near to you in judgment when we don't fear Him. But on the other hand, we glorify, we worship God when we fear Him." Revelation 15:4 states, "Who shall fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest." I ask you as I close, are you walking in the fear of the Lord? You really aren't living without the blessings that come to those who fear the Lord. It is vitally important that we as Christians fear the Lord, that we reverence, honor Him, that we possess a holy awe of the one and only true God. He, and only He, is our life. Father, I pray that You'll bless this dear group of people. What a privilege to stand before them. Bless, and I mean this sincerely, Lord, bless this dear pastor, his dear wife, his family, their faithfulness all these years. They've stuck by the stuff. They haven't compromised. They've been true to You. I really believe because they truly fear You. They know who You are. Honor them. Bless them. Bless this dear congregation of people. Multiply this congregation of people. Might 2014 be marked by Faith Baptist Tabernacle fearing You. In Jesus' name, amen.